I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
These men and women are brave. They signed up for this job, and that's why they wear masks. You know, I don't like masks, but they have to wear them because starting in April, the doxing started, and not only them, once they found out who they were, then they went after the spouses and the children. So, you know, ICE agents are brave men and women. They're patriots, but I want people to remember this. ICE agents don't hang their heart on a hook when they come to work. They're mothers and fathers, too. Their sons and daughters, too. Mm-hmm. They're out there enforcing the law.
What is your message to Gavin Newsom, who says that ICE agents will be required by law to not wear masks in his state?
Good luck with that. We're going to continue doing what I'm doing. I believe federal law trumps state law every time. So yeah. ICE agents continue doing what we're doing, so good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. That is our border czar, Tom Holman. And talking about why ICE agents are wearing masks. People are saying, oh, my God, they look so fearful. They come in these masks and everything. A gangster and a thug who comes to rob and attack you and your family may also be wearing a mask. You do know there's a difference, don't you? And then you got the Antifa thugs out there on the streets fighting. They got their faces covered. They don't want to be identified. In fact, they were given instructions the other day. They were told, look, just wearing a mask to kind of cover everything below your eyes is not enough because the government facial recognition can pick up on your eyes and identify you. And why would they do that? Well, if you attack or hurt an ICE officer and you run away, they will use everything they can to track you down. You might think you got away, but you're not. Well, Larry, you're talking about going after everybody like they did after January 6th. No, the folks that were in the Capitol on January 6th, I told you this story will outlive cockroaches. I told you that repeatedly. January 6th is what they're going to use continuously. But gradually, we're taking the legs off the damn cockroach so it won't move around quite as much. But a lot of people that they have on video going through the Capitol, they went after, accusing them of an insurrection when they were just walking to the Capitol. They were not at the front line battling police. When they got there, the doors were open, and in fact, some cases, guards opening the doors and just standing there for them, letting them walk through. But every one of them got identified by facial recognition, and they got tracked down because the Democrats wanted to make an example of them. In this case, we're not tracking down those who have attacked ICE officers, threatening them with their lives and everything, just because we want to make an example. We want to make sure they are held accountable for what they did. The other night in Chicago, officers were surrounded by Antifa. They got blocked in. 10 to a dozen cars surrounded their three or four vehicles so they couldn't even get out the door. It's a dangerous situation. One Molotov cocktail thrown into one of those vehicles, and you could have several, if not dead, maimed for life. You're going to hear that coming up here shortly about what Chicago police was doing to help when it was clear these officers could be facing that kind of danger. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA, October 6, 2025. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook. You can do it right now. Here I am. Hey, hi there. Or you can go to Larry Connors, USA, Rumble. And again, hey, hi, good to have you. Or Larry Connors, USA, Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast of video and audio when we finish. Available at News Talk, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. And I remind you, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to know more and have more information than you do right now by the time we finish this hour. Those of you who were with us the previous hour, you learned a lot. You should have. I make a point to do that. Coming up later in this hour, Pete Hegseth, our Secretary of War, made a ruling regarding the media. I'm going to tell you right now, I have some real issues with what Hegseth did. I'll explain in detail later, but I have some issues. We're going to get into that later. And also still later, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I've got an author of a book titled Cancer Set Me Free. You'll want to hear his story. In the meantime, in Chicago, we continue to have ICE agents doing their job the best they can. And there was a report that Christy Noem and some agents showed up at a Walmart.
So we just watched a raid at Walmart here in Walmart, the Chicagoland area. Amazing. Secretary Noem was here. They rolled up a couple of guys, and it's rowdy. I mean, there's a lot of people around. Everyone's filming. The Secretary of Homeland Security is right now doing raids at Walmart in Chicago. Again, they must have gotten a couple of guys at least. There are a few arrests for people trying to impede the enforcement operations, and wild scenes here.
And if you're impeding law enforcement, you're not allowed to just simply disagree and fight back. You follow the instructions of the law enforcement, and you don't seek your revenge or retribution or whatever you want to call it on the streets. You do it in the court. Illinois Senator Duckworth, before we begin, Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, one of the first Army women to fly combat missions in Iraq. Her helicopter shot down in 2004. She lost both legs. The woman has paid a high price for America and for you. So I don't like to criticize her, but she's lately, despite what she's done for her nation, what she's doing now is feeding the left loony wing. And as she goes through some of this, there's a lot of, I think, I heard, there's no documentation. Senator Duckworth.
Well, they lie, right? The Trump administration lies. We have a president who's a known liar, and they have been lying about the situation all along. And in fact, they even shot tear gas grenades, I think, at a reporter who was simply driving by with her window open.
I think.
And so we're urging our protesters, remain calm, peaceful protests, exercise your First Amendment rights.
Right.
But videotape everything. Everybody has a phone. Tape everything so we actually have real evidence of what is happening.
Right.
We know the Trump administration lies consistently. And what I am hearing is that large part, people are being very quiet, are being very respectful.
I'm hearing.
But ICE is being very aggressive. Remember that they are zip-tying children.
Really?
They are raiding apartment blocks in the middle of the night, separating children from their families, pulling people out onto the streets naked.
Really?
They are using Gestapo tactics in Chicago. And this is what Trump wants to do, right? He wants to intimidate the people of Chicago. That's not going to happen. And we're going to document everything and make sure, just as the judge in Portland said, that these requirements, these orders from the Trump administration are not actually tied to reality.
Now, she's asking them to document it. Do you not think that if they were doing that in the middle of the night, taking people out, zip-tying hands of children, little children, now again, when we say children, 18, 17, that's still technically a child in some states. Let's say 16, 15, they can also be a threat. 5, 7-year-olds, I don't want that to happen to them. I don't want people put out on the street naked. But if that was happening, she said, I'm hearing. Where is the documentation? Do you not imagine some folks around there had cell phones and they would have gotten that video and immediately it got spread wall-to-wall coverage on the legacy media? It's not there. And I refuse to believe that there's no one there watching that didn't have a cell phone. And you know what they do with a cell phone. If someone's dying in a car fire, rather than going to help get them out, they're videotaping it. So she's relying on false information. I'm convinced of it. She says she's asking for documentation that's not there, but it is clear as to when you watch the news reports what's happening. And in fact, there's a report out of Oakland that activists, hundreds in Oakland are being taught to resist Trump's agenda, including opposing ICE agents to detain illegals. Being taught resistance, like guerrilla warfare, basically. Well, in Chicago, they've already been doing some of that. In fact, a call came out on the police dispatch in Chicago last night or the other night for help, and here's what happened.
Okay, 10-4. And wanted for the hit and run, this guy fled from the scene at 37th Place in Kedzie. It all occurred, started at I-55 in Kedzie. Then they fled southbound at Kedzie, where that offending vehicle crashed. They ran the federal agent off the road. They fled on foot westbound 37th Place from Kedzie. It was a male Hispanic younger wearing all black clothing.
Yeah, send the cars in that direction. Have them stay put 2 or 3 blocks away, all right? Have them hold tight until I give you further direction, please.
For the units responding to 39th and Place in Kedzie, if you guys can start heading there as quick as you can, and then just hold tight for instructions with 999.
For the chief of patrol, clear everybody up. We're not responding over there.
Radio tick. And again, per the chief of patrol, we have all the units that, per 999, chief of patrol said all units clear out from there. We're not sending anybody over to that location.
The chief of patrol says clear out. We're not going over to help the ICE agents while they're being surrounded by Antifa and others, which has been labeled by the Trump administration a terrorist organization. All right, let's say you don't buy that, but if you got agents in trouble and they're blocked in and they can't get moving, they can't move forward or backwards, and they cannot move at all, they obviously are in peril. And Chicago police are told, stand down. I used to know some Chicago police officers, and I'm sure they're still alive. They're turning in their, you know, if they're not, they're turning in their grave. That's you don't ignore a call for an officer in need of aid. Who gave that direction? The chief of patrol. But he said, wait a minute till I get more instructions. Who did he get his final instructions from? The governor? A question got posed to a border chief about what Pritzker understands as to what's happening.
So the governor saying that you guys aren't doing anything to make the community safer, what would you say in response to him?
You know, I don't think the governor has ever stepped foot near a Train de Aragua member or MS-13 member or any other bad person or bad thing. So he probably wouldn't understand exactly what we're talking about. It might be way over his head. But don't worry, Governor Prixter, we've got it covered from here. And this is just the beginning. Tonight's just the beginning. And we're going to roll on and on. We are going to turn and burn, Governor. We're going from this one to the next, to the next, to the next, until they quit or are all deported and go home. And as far as him, he can either get on board or watch from the sidelines.
That's a Customs and Border Patrol chief, along with ICE agents. Not National Guard, saying, but we're going to carry out our duty and our responsibility. But in the meantime, Pritzker, along with Governor Newsom, they're doing everything they can. They're encouraging radical tactics. Pritzker instructing Illinois residents how to oppose ICE officers. Unbelievable. And yet it's not. Well, the Schumer shutdown continues, but former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says Schumer is being played by the left.
She loves this because she has Schumer so scared he shuts down. Then she makes him look inept that he's not at the office. She's not running for Schumer's seat. She's running to be president. She won't win it, but she could become very strong in the Democratic Party. Maybe if they've ever won, she could be in the cabinet. But she is literally running because she will embrace all those Bernie Sanders leaders, voters, and then try to get new ones.
Yep. And Schumer's afraid of AOC going for his seat. She really wants to be president when you get down to it. And there are enough crazies on the left that would probably support it. May I give you an example? May I give you an example? October 7, 2023, is when the Hamas attack occurred against Jews in Jerusalem. They killed 1,200 men, women, and children and took something like 250 hostages into the terrorist tunnels. Our U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, just marked the second anniversary by calling for the remaining Israeli hostages to be freed in a new deal. Trump had been saying, I want them freed by Sunday last night, 6 p.m. Didn't happen. They're still working on it. And he keeps saying, I think it's going to happen anytime soon. I'm not sure how much he's being played, and he knows he's stuck out on a limb here. And he said he would give Bibi authority to do whatever he needed to if they're not going to release the remaining hostages, dead or alive. But here's the contrast of the example I wanted to give you. The Democrat Party nominee for mayor of New York City, Zohran Mamdani, he met with Palestinians yesterday, not to mark the attack on Israel on October 7, not to even acknowledge that, as he put out on his X posting, I sat with Palestinian New Yorkers and listened to what they and their families have endured as a genocide in Gaza continues, funded by our government. In the face of immeasurable grief, they show unbreakable resilience. There is no genocide taking place. Genocide, Israel could have carried that out. They could have wiped out all the Palestinians from day one. They kept giving Palestinians advice how to get out of the way. Hamas leadership continued to hold them hostage. They wanted those body shields to use as collateral damage. They didn't care about hiding behind a woman's skirt or under a baby bed. Mamdani says genocide. Coming up, the author of the book, Cancer Set Me Free. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm racing.
Well, here it's fine. And you got the time.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. This month, as of October 1 and through the end of the month, is designated Breast Cancer Month, trying to raise awareness. Breast cancer obviously affects primarily women, but men also can get breast cancer, especially at a later age. So if you begin to suspect something is going wrong, men, don't just simply pass it off. You need to be getting it checked. My guest has written a book titled Cancer Set Me Free. And that title is almost shocking in one way. Let's get into the story. Glenn Sturm, a decorated military officer, attorney, and speaker. Glenn, welcome aboard.
Thank you very so much.
So you were...
It's a pleasure to be here.
It was, what, 16 years ago that you were diagnosed?
I just checked it. It was actually January 21st is the date. I'll never forget, but it was 6,102 days of chemo since then.
That's pretty amazing. And how would you evaluate your health now? Are you cancer-free?
No, sir. It'll never be gone, but it's I'm fine. I operate with a schedule. And you just keep going and celebrate life every day.
Fight the fight every day, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's the book really it changed my whole life. It opened up my eyes to things, and it made me a better friend, a better companion, and a better dad.
Oh, wow. That's a heavy price to pay to get to that point in your life. I want to begin to go through some of it, but first, back to the date that you got the diagnosis. What kind of cancer is it, and what was your reaction as you sat there listening to it?
Well, it was funny. I was actually in the Atlanta airport on my way to the University of North Carolina to give a speech, and it was a number, and I didn't recognize the number, and this was before all the spam calls.
Right.
And I picked, I finally said, well, I got to make return the call when I land, so I took it. And it was a triathlon partner and a friend, but she was also one of my docs. And she said, Glenn, we got the biopsy results back. And I said, what biopsy? Well, it was before Christmas, and this was not January 21st. And she says, it's positive for lymphoma. I thought it was a joke. I thought she was pulling my leg. And, she quickly got into the fact that it was serious, and she told me I had to be back in her office the next day for more biopsies. And the best part about the day was I was on an airplane for a couple hours, and I had time to reflect and think and do some research before, you know, I had to talk to anybody else about it. But from that point on, I just said, I don't know what this is about, but I'm going to be as transparent as I can be, and, I'm going to be as good as I can be for as long as I have.
Are you a man of faith?
Yes, sir.
And did you go immediately to that faith?
I wouldn't say immediately. I mean, I'd say within hours, yes. But I was, you know, initially it's just kind of a shock.
Right.
It, you don't really know how to react.
Right.
But as I said in the book, I wasn't going to let cancer define me. I was going to, you know, live life to the fullest and try to make the world a better place for others.
I'm going to repeat your words. I'm going to repeat your words. It would not let cancer define me. So what did you start doing to make sure that it was not going to define you?
Well, first off, research the issues. Know everything about it. Know who the best doctors in the world were. But I was going to continue to do other things. Like I was practicing law at a very high level. I was the corporate chairman of a very large law firm, and I was going to continue doing that and helping other people. And that's really what my job was to help others. And then the next part was I was going to explore my life and see what I could do to make the world a better place for others. And I think I've done that as well as I could have so far. I've got a long ways to go. It's a hill you climb every day.
Yeah. Well, all of us do, even if we're not battling a cancer like you did. You are in your 17th year of chemotherapy. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I take chemo every day, and I'm in the hospital for IV once a month.
Well, I know there are folks listening right now that have been in that walk with you or in the beginning it. What would you say to them?
Well, there's something that's, I think it's made my life different. One of the things we've worked on with my case was managing energy. And there are medications now that are not amphetamines and they're not addictive that can help you with your energy. After chemo, I lose some energy, but I take medications that maintain my energy levels. And most people are just shocked what I accomplish every day. And if I didn't have doctors who are concerned about managing energy, I wouldn't accomplish half of what I do.
Very quickly, what is, quote, a common day? What time you get up? How many hours you up? How many hours of sleep? And where does the chemotherapy fit in?
Well, I get up at 5:30 most days. I'm in the gym from 7 to 8. And then I start working. I'm got my first novel coming out in about 6 weeks, I hope. And so I'm working on it probably 10 hours a day. And then, you know, I try to take a break after 10 hours. And then get outside. I've got two golden retrievers who just love chasing tennis balls. And so we do that for a while, as long as it's still light.
You know, and I know you also put
it at night.
I know you also put a lot of speaking engagements in.
So it's a full day.
Yeah. And when you're speaking to groups
the energy management, I wouldn't be able to do any of that.
Right. And when you're speaking to people directly and telling your story, you're watching their faces. Yeah, you're watching your faces. What do you hear back from them or see? You're there, Glenn. Go ahead.
I didn't hear it.
I said when you're speaking to groups and you're watching their reaction as you go through some of this, what kind of reactions do you pick up on and say, I know, I was there?
It's the reactions are interesting. A lot of times I'm at the speaking engagements, I'm at with nonprofits and I'm donating some of my photography to them for they're auctioned off. And I tell the story of it. And a lot of people are just in disbelief. They can't believe that anybody could do what I do. And I don't know anything different than doing this. Does that make sense? I mean,
it does. And I find it fascinating the sense that you realize that this is your opportunity to not just fight that, but fight to change your life and make it better for you and be better for others.
Yes, sir. I mean, we are all so blessed to live in this country. And those of us who have been more fortunate than others, there's the wonderful phrase, "So much is given, much is required." I've been given so much, it's ridiculous. And I owe it to do everything I can every day to make the world a better place.
That's a lesson we all should learn, and hopefully we wouldn't have to be put into that foxhole that we would begin to make that change. When you look back over some of the lives you've touched, your thoughts?
One of the things I say is in the book is put a smile on somebody's face every day, somebody else's face, put a smile. Yesterday, there's a legal immigrant who I was at Whole Foods and was having a hard time walking for a little while because I've got a spinal tumor that's causing me a few problems right now. And she worked there and she grabbed my shopping list and did it for me because she was seeing I was having a hard time walking.
Oh.
Well, I helped her get a better job. And last night, through some work we did together, she's gotten a phenomenal job. And she smiles every day. And the most wonderful thing about that is it puts a smile on my face just thinking about her and how she's grown and how just a little bit of effort, just a little bit, changed somebody's life. And if we all do that, you know, going back to that, put a smile on somebody else's face, it ends up putting a smile on yours. And it makes life better for you. Helping others makes life better for you.
I like that. I like that a lot. Glenn Sturm, the book is titled Cancer Set Me Free. Cancer Set Me Free. Glenn, again, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful day.
You bet. Coming up, Pete Hegseth, our Secretary of War, doing something I'm not in favor of. I'll explain. And also a Social Security whistleblower.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend, Bob Leslie, and ask about the Gain and Retain Plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
They wanted us to try to identify them in such a way that they would qualify for long-term Social Security disability. And long-term Social Security disability is for life. So if they get identified and qualify for long-term Social Security disability, they are as good as set up for life for medical treatment. And so they instructed us to try to identify, to try to get the client, because once they arrive here, they're now called clients, because clients pay. They told us that we needed to talk to the client and ask them if they had any headaches, recurring headaches, or any lower back problems, anything that would qualify them for Social Security long-term disability. We were instructed in the meeting that one of the first things we were supposed to do was sign them up for Social Security. And then after we processed them for a Social Security card, then we were to process them for a U.S. passport. So that's about the time I kind of decided, okay, I was done. I've heard everything I want to know. I was so angry about this, that they would receive a U.S. passport. It just, you know, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that we were giving these people Social Security cards and U.S. passports and free medical, free housing, free food, free everything.
Free everything. While you, my friend, are working very hard to take care of yourself and your family, maybe other loved ones, to provide for them, everything from food to health care, the Democrats are playing the game of bring all the illegals in and get them immediately to Social Security, get them a Social Security number, and then they can get a job, then they get a driver's license, and they can start getting benefits. And if you ask, do you have any back problem? Yeah, after walking 1,600 miles to get here, I probably have a back problem. Okay, we'll put you down there. In other words, put them down for long-term disability, lifelong disability, and they start drawing extra money above and beyond. Now, you might have the same symptoms or disabilities, but are you getting additional funding? Maybe you are. But this was a scam from the beginning. What can we do to make sure that these illegals get, what, more than Americans? That's what it was coming down to. You heard my guest a moment ago, Glenn Strom, the author of the book Cancer Set Me Free. He mentioned he has difficulty walking, and he's walking to a store trying to pick up a list of items. And he did say the term, and I let it slide because that was not the issue at that point. It was an issue of humanity. He called this woman an illegal. I don't know how he knew that. I don't know what his stance is or not on it. It was not going to be pertinent to the issue of what she did. What she did was she came over and took his list and said, let me get these things for you and bring them to your basket or do something of that effect. Her gesture of compassion for somebody who needed help. Didn't make any difference if she's illegal. It doesn't change my mind that she should be deported if she's here illegally, except for this. And this is what I've stressed repeatedly. I'm not interested in grabbing up the illegals that are doing no harm. They're just trying to earn money. The raid on the Chicago Walmart, I would not really be in favor of. Christy Nome was right there in the center of it. I'm not interested in raiding meatpacking companies unless they're children, illegals, working with very dangerous equipment and they shouldn't be doing it. And I'm not interested in grabbing them up if they're working in a farm field. If you're going to do anything, go after the employer. I'm after the illegals that are here to commit crime and chaos and prey upon you and our nation. The woman our author described, he said, had a smile on her face all the time. And she could tell he was struggling. She offered to help him. I don't care what your legal status is at that point, your religion, your color. I praise you for that act of kindness. I have someone very close to me that was dropping off some goods at one of the Goodwill drop-offs the other day. A hot, hot day. There were cars lined up. There were four or five cars behind her, and some new guy came out to the docks and started waving them on around her to get to them and start helping unload them. So this person is stuck behind the car where she is, and she said, well, I'll go ahead and start getting this stuff out of the trunk. She started getting it out of the trunk, and an older man came over to her that was helping unload things. And they exchanged some pleasantries. He was very nice and pleasant. He said, thank you very much for donating. We do appreciate it. And she said, well, how are you doing? They said, oh, I'm hot. He said, I could use a cool one. By that, a cold one. I said, by that, I don't mean a beer. I mean, I could just really use an iced tea with lemon. It's just so hot out here. She got in her car, drove a couple miles down the street to one of these little quick stop type things, went in and got him a big tumbler of iced tea and some lemon packs to go with it, and drove it back to give to him. That's a great act of kindness. His response was just, I can't believe you did that for me. I can't believe. I mean, I just can't. He was over and over effusive, thanking her, and probably shared the story with some others. Little deeds like that get repeated when someone else hears about them. You just heard about them. Look for an opportunity like that. Yes, there are people standing around looking for handouts on the street corners. When they look to be perfectly physically able, if they could stand in that heat, they could go get a job somewhere, do something. And sometimes they'll bring their dog with them. And that is to create more sympathy. Also, they don't have any place to leave the dog. I don't know. If they are with one leg, they're still out there, I'll probably give them something. They're in a wheelchair. I don't know if they are locked down in a wheelchair or using it as a prop. But if you're able-bodied, you should be doing everything you can for yourself, and that way you can help others. Well, I went down that rabbit hole pretty fast, didn't I? It happens. Let me get back on track. The attacks upon Trump are relentless. He can't seem to do anything right. There's a Democrat consultant, Liz Smith, who had said, I told the Democrats I was consulting with, you guys have got to get off of banging on him all the time. You got to start showing something positive on your own side. Listen to this.
We resisted so hard between 2017 and 2024. We impeached the guy. Like, we prosecuted him, convicted him of 34 felony counts. And guess what? He still got elected. So I don't know how much harder we can resist right now.
Are you admitting that, that the case against Trump in New York was part of the organized Democratic Party resistance?
It was a Democratic prosecutor. And at the time, I said I thought it was unwise. I went on Fox News and said
there were Democrats who said this at the time.
There were a lot.
Just to be clear, everybody who now touts the 34 felonies, take it from Liz. This was not a real case. This was a plot to upend the presidential campaign, which
I just think it was a boneheaded move by Alvin Bragg.
And she was telling the Democrats that, but they wouldn't listen. Now, let me give you another example of a boneheaded move Democrats are doing right now. There's a Democrat candidate for Virginia Attorney General, Jay Jones. In a 2022, a few years ago, obviously, with a Republican House delegate, he was talking about his former colleague, who's a Republican, the House Speaker. He told this Republican House delegate it would be a good thing if the children of his former colleague, Republican House Speaker Todd Gilbert, would die. The children would die. He went on to be quoted as saying, three people, two bullets. Gilbert, his opponent, Hitler and Pol Pot, that ran Khmer Rouge. Gilbert gets two bullets to the head. spoiler, put Gilbert in the crew with the two worst people you know. He receives two bullets every time. He said that in a message. When pushed back by the House delegate about, are you hoping that Jennifer Gilbert's children would die? And he said, yes. And got questioned, only when people feel pain personally do they move on policy. And he called the Gilbert's young children little fascists. They're children. Yet he is still in the race. He's still in the race, and his Democrat colleagues are not calling him out. The one gubernatorial candidate said, I spoke frankly with Jay about my disgust. I made it clear he's got to take full responsibility. I will always condemn this violent language. But nobody is asking him to resign for those kinds of remarks. And he just wants to say, oh, my bad. You're going to give him a free pass for that kind of stuff? Some of the Democrats on record doubled down on full support of Jay Jones. He has admitted his past mistakes. Calling for the death of children and their father. One Democrat committee member said, we say, let those without sin cast the first stone. Oh, I understand that. I know it's direct from the Bible. And I'm not free of sin. But I've never called for the children of someone to be killed or their father to be killed, leaving them without a father. There is a CNN survey report on Americans accepting or rejecting National Guard troops in streets. Many of you will not like the responses.
It's a political loser. Donald Trump may think it's a political winner, but it's a political loser. Opposed Trump deploying in a U.S. city, active duty U.S. military, 61%. The National Guard in particular, 58%. When you get three in five Americans agreeing on anything, you know if that is on the opposition side, it's a political loser. And among independents, who are, of course, that key block in the middle of the United States political electorate, we're talking about two-thirds of independents there and about who oppose the deployment of either active duty U.S. military or National Guard into U.S. cities.
What are the questions that people are asking, or what are the issues they see with these deployments?
Okay, look, I think it's that they don't buy Donald Trump's case for why these troops must go into the U.S. cities. So the New York Times essentially gave you a two-pronged little answer here, right? Trump may use the National Guard to intimidate rivals, or big city crime will spiral out of control if the troops don't go into cities. What you see here is the majority that takes the case is that Trump may use the National Guard to intimidate political rivals at 51%. Just 42% of Americans agree with the Donald Trump stance that, in fact, big city crime will spiral out of control if the National Guard doesn't go into U.S. cities. So essentially what we're seeing here is Donald Trump's making a case, the Democratic opposition's making another case, and the Democratic opposition's case is winning here, and that is a big reason why what you see is you get about three in five Americans saying they don't want troops going into U.S. cities.
All right, so I understand. You don't want active duty troops sent in on our streets. You don't want the National Guard sent in, not ordered by Trump. What are you going to do if the governor decides we need more help? We don't have enough police to cover and protect the citizens and the people, and it's your neighborhood that's at stake. Where are you then? Now it's in your backyard. I mentioned earlier that I have a problem with an issue with Secretary of War Hegseth. It's not officially Secretary of War until approved by the Senate. That still has to take place. He had put out new restrictions for the press corps. And he said, I think the American people see things like this as common sense. The Pentagon press corps can squeal all they want. We're taking these things seriously. They can report. They just need to make sure they're following rules. Stop it right there. The rule of First Amendment free speech is I don't have to get anyone's permission to say what I want if I'm a reporter. He's put out a September 19 memo. Credentialed reporters must sign an agreement acknowledging department information must be, quote, approved by for public release by an appropriate official before it's released, even if unclassified. and saying if a reporter violates that, they could lose their press pass. That is not journalism, Hegseth, and you know that. You spent enough years with ABC. I'm sorry, Fox. You know a journalist does the job, even if others don't like it. I don't want to take a story that's going to be critical of you or the Pentagon, had to take it up to you and say, will you approve this for me? BS. That, Hegseth, has to be walked back immediately. Immediately. Yeah, I made another syllable in there. So what? You're going to pull me and my credentials? I don't have any credentials. I have Larry Connors, USA. That's the only credential I need. And I want to thank you for listening. What did you learn this hour you did not know when we began? And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.